This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by OTC.watch, where investors go to find big data on small companies. That's OTC.watch. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you a brand new company, came on our radar about 60 days ago, and I'm super excited to have this gentleman on my show. The name of the company is LightPath Technologies. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol LPTH. And with us today is the CEO and president, going to bring us up to speed, the great one, Mr. Sam Rubin. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ev. Appreciate it and excited to be here and speak to you.
Well, let me ask you this. What brought you to LightPath? And where is LightPath today? And where do you see LightPath in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So, you know, I came to LightPath from really spending my whole career in the same industry, the industry LightPath is, which is optics or photonics. And, you know, as a very senior person in the industry and having run a $500 million company previously, I had a lot of different opportunities of what to do and where to go. I chose LightPath because I felt like I followed LightPath forever, and I felt like it was really underutilized in terms of its capabilities and technologies.
Right.
And being in an industry that is changing drastically right now, you know, we all know that change equals opportunity. You don't go in and build a massive business in a very well-established industry or in a mature business, you know, that's much harder. You find these opportunities where everything around you is changing, a bit of a chaos almost, and you come in understanding, or hopefully in understanding, what's happening, what's changing, and how to leverage that. And that's the case with LightPath. We've been taking a company with incredible technology, that a company that has been using that technology to be a component, low-cost provider, not a great strategy. And instead of that, leveraging the fact that photonics is getting everywhere, being installed in every application, every industry,
correct,
and leveraging the technology to make LightPath into more of a product and solutions company. So we're now making cameras, we're making complete systems, we're leveraging our know-how, not to provide our customers with lower cost components, but to provide higher end customers with complete solutions, really making photonics available for companies that before couldn't touch it.
Let me ask you this. What's wrong with crystal glass in infrared lenses? And how do black diamond glasses solve that issue associated with crystal glass? And how do you plan on to leverage your black diamond glasses to induce customers to partner with on a higher value project, if you will?
Yeah. So, you know, we're all familiar, every one of us is familiar with regular glasses, right?
Right.
My eyeglasses, screen. If you have a camera, it has in it multiple lenses. You know, what's very unique about, what's very different between that visible light, the light we can see, and infrared, is the materials. The materials that are used, like for our regular in my cell phone, I have three cameras, seven lenses, each one of them, right? The materials that are used for that cannot transmit infrared light. Infrared meaning night vision, thermal
correct
imaging, all of those applications. So you need different materials. Now, unfortunately, the only materials that are available until now have been crystals like silicon and germanium. The issue is two. One, most of the germanium comes from two countries, China and Russia. So that's a major supply chain issue, especially for the Department of Defense here.
Right.
Secondly, as opposed to the visible light where you have about 500 different types of glasses, I kid you not, you know, the reason why the camera in your phone is so, so small is because it uses at least five different materials in it.
Huh.
So they can leverage the difference between the materials and make a really compact camera. In the infrared until now, there were only like five materials. So if you look at the infrared camera, whether it's, you know, a thermal imaging camera for a gun scope or a contactless temperature measurement device, or even a military camera, those are much larger and bulkier. Because when you have much less materials, you can't really build a compact, small system. You end up building something really big and complicated with a lot of lenses in it and very difficult. Our black diamond glass are really the introduction now of proper glasses, just like in the visible light. Different glasses with different attributes to them, different characteristics, you know, different behaviors from the optical point of view, in a way that allows the designers now both to not use germanium as much as they did before, because germanium is a supply chain liability, and to design much more compact, small systems, and even much more complex systems. Now, an example is our own camera, the Mantis camera that we recently released, you know, is one that uses those new materials in it, and without those materials, it would have been a much bigger, bulkier camera than what we've made.
Got it.
So these materials are really bringing a new level of innovation to sort of infrared imaging that until now didn't exist.
On your technology, you have a provisional patent on that or a utility patent?
So what we have there is a exclusive license from the U.S. government. 9 out of those 11 materials were developed by Naval Research Laboratories, funded by the U.S. government. And what we have is an exclusive license to perpetuity, by the way. It doesn't even have an end date to it, to commercialize those materials. So the IP and patents belong to the U.S. government, and we have a license, and the exclusive license, the only ones that have it, to commercialize that technology.
Well, one of the reasons why I invited you on the show is that I think your company is very undervalued. You know, you have a run rate of over $30 million. Your market cap's around $34 million, and you got a new product getting ready to come out. And that's the product I want to talk about. So tell us about the new camera, the Mantis, and what's so unique about it? How does the cost of the Mantis compare to the current products that are already on the market? And maybe give us a couple of examples of new capabilities that this camera has.
Sure thing. It's absolutely an exciting product. You can't see my face, but whenever I talk about Mantis, I'm told I smile ear to ear. This is like, you know, when I dreamed of the strategy for LightPath of going from components to solutions, this is it. This is the kind of things we dreamt about. It is taking our core technologies of unique materials, unique glass, unique optics, and instead of selling in components, making an actual product from it. So what's exciting about Mantis is that until now, when you talk about infrared imaging in general, you know, in technical terms, you talk about a few different regions. You talk about shortwave, midwave, longwave, you know, very complicated, right? But engineers don't have a lot of creative names. So shortwave, midwave, and longwave today are three different cameras that image different things. Longwave images sort of low temperature thermal images. So you see them on gun sites, on images of people, of things like that. Midwave images high temperature things. So it can image like really hundreds of degrees Fahrenheit events. So whether it is industrial events or missiles being launched or things like that. And shortwave is more sort of a night vision thing. The thing is today you have two issues. One is you have separate cameras for each one of them. The second is the midwave and the shortwave cameras cost close to $100,000 each.
Wow.
Because they have to be cryogenically cooled. So they have an extremely complicated cooling mechanism in them that is very expensive, big, bulky, requires power, reduces the lifetime of them. You know, really sucks, to be honest. I remember carrying a camera like that when I was a soldier. It wasn't fun, right?
Right, right.
But you know, that until today, that's the only way you could image in the midwave. What we did is using our special technology, we took a long wave camera or something that is used until now mainly in long wave, and we extended it to work also in the midwave. So now instead of a $80,000 or $100,000 camera, we're talking about a $10,000, $15,000 camera that does not need to be cryogenically cooled can work in the midwave and, get this, is simultaneously imaging both the midwave and the long wave. So you're getting two for the price of one, and one of those two, like imaging the midwave, is about a tenth of the price of what you would pay until now.
So you basically,
it's a very big deal.
So you basically streamline the technology all in one camera.
Yeah, yeah. And, wow. And it's made possible because of those materials, which we have exclusively. And that's the beauty of the strategy, which I think many investors don't get, is we're not taking the materials that we have and they're now just going to sell more components made of those materials. That was the old strategy, the old light path. No, you know, we're taking those materials and making a complete system from them.
Yeah. Another thing that you bring up, investors, you know, I don't think they get your backlog. I mean, you guys got a backlog of orders up to $30 million. That being said, what should investors take away from the recent release showing a higher backlog and has the nature of the backlog change of late?
Sure thing. So there's two things in it. One, the backlog is 50% higher than what we've been averaging in the backlog for the last few years. So, you know, you're talking about implied 50% growth in the backlog. Most of it is in the short term. So we haven't loaded up the backlog with like multi-year contracts and said, oh, we have a record backlog. These are, you know, regular contracts for the next 12 months or so, but just a record backlog. So that's already implied growth that investors should see starting to happen in the next 3 to 5 months as we start shipping that backlog out.
Right.
The second is this custom company, anyone that knew it previously knows in the past it relied heavily on China, both manufacturing and sales. And we've changed that. We've changed that because we cleaned up the company. We got rid of the management in China that was stealing money, by the way, for years. And we've diversified away from China. We still have an operation there, but we went from 30% of our revenue was coming from China to now 10%. China was the low-end component commoditized part. So we have a higher backlog, less China, higher quality revenue in that backlog, and higher end products starting with more sophisticated products now that give us a much better margin, much better growth prospect than selling $5 components. So it's a really important backlog now.
Sam, we got about 30 seconds left in the show here, and I want to give you the last word. What is it that you want my listeners and your stockholders to take away from today's show?
Change. This company has changed. It used to be, you know, it was around for 20 years. It was staggering. It didn't have any growth. We're now growing at over 10% a year. We've changed everything from board of directors to management to employment to alignment to shareholder value. We've changed strategy. This is a completely different company, only the same ticker stayed.
My guest today has been Sam Rubin. He is the CEO and president of LightPath Technologies. Take a look at him. I brought you a lot of great companies. Everybody should do their own due diligence. Stock price around $1.20 to $1.25. Market cap around $34 million. And you can find them on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol LPTH. Sam, great having you on the show. Hopefully you become a regular and come back every 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
I would love to. Thank you very much, Abe. It's been a pleasure.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.